It's time to dive into the latest news and updates from the Vegas Golden Knights. This is Nighttime at Noon on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Here we go, Las Vegas. Season's greetings from downtown Summerlin. This is Nighttime at Noon on Fox Sports Las Vegas. Just a few seconds after noon Pacific time here on this 15th day of December 2025, 10 days till Christmas. We're already into Hanukkah. Happy Hanukkah. And we are coming to you from Studio 31 inside City National Arena. Dan Duva, Gary Lawless here for a holiday edition and a homecoming edition of Nighttime at Noon. Golden Knights back here in the Silver State after a terrific road trip. Five games out east, all against the Metro. They get 9 out of 10 points, 4-0-1. The only blemish was the shootout loss on Long Island. But after that, the victories in overtime at Philadelphia and then a victory in regulation against the Blue Jackets. So the Knights starting the day number one in the Pacific Division. Gary Lawless, season's greetings.
Whenever I hear that season's greetings and I equate it to the Golden Knights, I always think season's beatings because they're so good in December.
It's true.
When I worked in Winnipeg, they used to have this boxing card, and it was kind of semi-pro.
Okay.
Kind of tomato canish. Kind of the start of Rocky when he's. You
okay.
Know,
I gotcha. Was, I gotcha.
You know,
I gotcha.
A lot of spilt beer on the floor, and anyways, the card. The week before Christmas was called Season's Beatings.
Season's Beatings.
So whenever the Golden Knights go on this December tear and I hear someone say Season's Greetings, I think Season's Beatings.
I'm thinking Mickey Rourke in The Wrestler. That sounds like a great promotion for one of those kinds of things. Well, it has been a hockey success story in the month of December for the Golden Knights. Last year it was 10-2-0. And, of course, if you go back prior to the road trip, they started here at home with a victory against Chicago on December 2nd. So they are 5-0-1 here in this month of December.
Yeah.
And, again, last year 10-2-0. And that was the third best month in franchise history, excluding the playoffs, of course, but a best regular season month. And December throughout franchise history has been a big success. I wonder, Gary, if you have a – I've asked a few people this question. Do you have any thought as to why?
Well, I do because I wrote about it on the road trip, and Braden McNabb, who's going to join us later in the show, he's the guy I asked.
Yeah.
And he just said, he goes, we get to our game.
Yeah.
He goes, by game 30, you've kind of figured out where you should be. And I would say on the road trip, the team didn't execute offensively as well as maybe it has at other times this season, but it got really good goaltending. Both Schmidt and Hart were excellent on the trip, and they didn't give much up. You know, against Columbus, there was a little gap in the second period where Hart had to be, you know, out of this world. But other than that, he didn't get tested a lot in the third. They just didn't give Columbus very much against New Jersey. The first and the third were super clean. Against the Rangers, the first and the third were really clean. And, you know, the Islander game was probably the sloppiest of the trip. And, again, against the Flyers, same thing. They had tons of stretches of hockey where the Flyers just didn't get to generate anything and didn't get a lot of opportunity. So Schmidt was really good when he needed to be that night as well. So, it makes what McNabb sort of said, you know, you go to training camp, you go through all these things, and then you try and build your game, But by game 30, if you don't have a semblance of what you're supposed to be, you're in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
So we kind of know what the Golden Knights are as currently constructed.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing that, you know, there are enough guys in the lineup offensively, like Jack Eichel and Mark Stone were pretty good early in that trip. And then, you know, they got contributions from a lot of places. The power play and the penalty kill were really good. And then in the last game against Columbus, they needed a hero. They needed somebody to put on the Superman cape and step up and take that game over. and they got it from Mitch Marner.
Yeah.
Mitch Marner had three assists.
All primary assists.
Including the winner on the McNabb play. And that play, I asked Bruce about it, Bruce Cassidy about it after the game. And, you know, he said, we need to do – so Marner got the puck sort of top of the circle on – our left, the left side of the ice, the penalty box side of the ice, and then he rolled up to the top of the zone and then came down the bench side. And as he was doing that, Braden McNabb is over at his point, and he sees what Mitch is doing, and he sees people pulling. Mitch is pulling people to him. McNabb slides down wide open. The pass, it's not a miraculous backhand sauce or anything like that. The wizardry in it is, hey, look at me, everybody. And they come to him. And then it's just an easy pass to McNabb. And then the finish was, well, we're going to talk to Braden about that, because there was a really interesting conversation in the Golden Knights dressing room after practice on Friday. So we'll talk to Braden about what Theodore had to say about him and how it relates to that goal, which was lights out.
Yeah, and by the way, similar, Gary, with the, hey, look, it's me, Mitch Marner setting up Pavel Dorofeev for that first goal, because Mitch has the puck straight on, winds up, looks like he's going to shoot. He's kind of going down the throat of the slot, yeah, and then passes over to Pavel, and Jet Greaves, the goalie, couldn't get over, and Pavel's shot is too good. We should mention, by the way, Pavel Dorofeev on the ice for practice today. He did not play in the third period in Columbus. He had scored that power play goal opening minute of the second, continued on to the second period, but did not play in the third. He was on the ice for practice today. A few players had maintenance days: Jack Eichel, Colton Sissons, and Brett Howden.
Yeah.
So we'll step aside. When we come back, we will have Braden McNabb, who is right here in the studio. Amazing. That is television for you, folks. We'll step aside. When we return, it is nighttime at noon on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
We're back to nighttime at noon on your home for the Vegas Golden Knights, Fox Sports Las Vegas.
10 after the hour. Welcome back to nighttime at noon on this 15th day of December 2025, 10 days from Christmas. Dan Duva, Gary Lawless here on Nighttime at Noon. The Henderson Silver Knights are hosting their fifth annual Lucky Launch tomorrow, December 16th. Silver Knights taking on the San Diego Gulls. Fans are invited to bring stuffed animals to launch onto the ice after the Silver Knights score their first goal. This is fun stuff. Those cuddly critters will be flying. Every toy will go to local kids for the holidays, and Lucky Plushies will be available on the concourse, with proceeds going to the Henderson Silver Knights Foundation. If you show up early, you might, Gary, meet Santa Claus. Okay, tickets available now, hendersonsilverknights.com. That is tomorrow, the Lucky Launch. Silver Knights down in Henderson against the Gulls. Welcome you back inside our studio, Dan Duva, Gary Lawless, and Golden Knights defenseman Braden McNabb. Hi, Braden. Merry Christmas. How are you?
Merry Christmas. I'm good, thank you.
Well, we were talking about the road trip just before you came on, and it is another good one. You get points, 9 out of 10 on the trip, and another terrific start to the month of December. We were talking about it. Gary had you in his article about the December success in this organization. In your own words, what's the magic ingredient?
I don't know. It's been a good month for us. I think it's just you hit that 20, 25, 30 game mark, and your game's starting to come around, and your identity's comes into play, and you know, everyone's game just kind of gets in sync. And I don't know, maybe that's why I don't have a real true answer for you, but yeah, it's good. Hopefully, we can carry it over.
Yeah, I think it's a very good answer, and Gary just brought it up a little while ago, especially the veteran teams where you've kind of mapped out what it takes to win, but each year is a little bit different. You kind of figure that individual unique nature of a team out, and it takes maybe 30 games.
Yeah, definitely. It definitely can. You know, we've always had good training camps and get off to a pretty good start. bank some points because it's a long year and there's going to be times where, you know, you're going to have tough schedules and might not be able to get the points. So you take them when you can.
And I'll just turn that around a little bit. Of course, you've been here from the beginning, but there are always players new to the organization. And this year, whether it's Mitch Marner or Cole Reinhardt or whoever it might be, they're figuring things out. You know, they have to sort of, okay, this is how this organization operates, get to know their teammates and that sort of stuff too. And then to have, you know, 5-game trip out east, there's some team bonding that happens there as well.
Yeah, absolutely. It's huge for the new guys, especially them. So when they can come in and, you know, get to know the guys more, you know, the more games you play, the more comfortable you'll get on and off the ice. So it's a great thing about those long trips, especially early in the year.
Friday afternoon, after practice, I talked to you for a little bit, and then you left, and then Theodore came off the ice, and I went to talk to somebody else, and then he called me over, and he said, hey, how many points did Naber have in his last season of junior? And I said 72. Like, so it was 62. But I was like, I think he went on 72, and he was like, and he's like, I think it was more than that. So then we Googled, and it was 62. And I don't know why he was asking that, but then he was talking about, you know, like, he's got skills. He's offensive. He has sacrificed some of that in order to be one of the best defensive defensemen in the NHL. And also, you and Shea have a really good partnership that allows him to do some stuff that, you know, you might be guarding the home front a little more so that he can go off and do his thing. Anyways, the very next night, you score one of the prettiest goals we've seen all year. Great pass from Mitch Marner to you down low. And you, puck, take us from when Mitch gets it kind of on the opposite circle and you start to creep down. What's going through your mind?
Are you sure it was 62 points? I thought it was 72.
Might have been 72. Right. I might have it reversed, yes.
It was 102 in the American Hockey League, by the way.
Over how many years?
159 games, 102 points in the American Hockey League.
Yeah, almost a point a game.
I'm not usually on the right side, so for some reason I think it was maybe kind of part of the breakout. Maybe Theo was getting up, and he was on the left side, and Mitch, yeah, he comes up. He likes to come up high and be like a high F3, and I saw him kind of curling into my position, so I was just kind of going down low to give him an outlet. I knew I was pretty close to the net, so I was able to take a quick peek, see if there was a shot was there, and it was, and fortunately it went in.
It was a great shot. Like, it's, you hit the top of the net. It was beautifully shot.
Well, thank you. Yeah, it was a long time coming to get that first one, so it was nice for it to go in.
Were you spurred on by Zach Whitecloud having scored his first the game before?
Yeah, well, the D-men are hot, I guess, so right. I was just trying to keep that going.
Yeah, I mean, a few people said to us, first,
scored two in that game,
yeah,
right?
Against
Columbus.
Well, yeah, yes, he scored, yep, exactly, but Whitecloud getting his first, and a number of people had said to us, first Hanifin, then Bruce Cassidy, and then Cole Reinhardt. Both, all three of them, but both players thought that it was Jack Eichel.
Yeah, as did I. I was cleaning my visor. I just saw the skates. I'm like, it looked like Jack. So.
And then not until you saw the bubble on Zach Whitecloud's face did you realize, oh, that's not Jack. That's actually Zach Whitecloud. Yeah. That was a heck of a finish.
It was a great finish. It was a great goal. And it's good to see.
You know, Guy Carboneau, like, was one of the highest scoring players in the Quebec League history, and then, you know, became a perennial Selke winner when he got to the NHL. You know, we just talked about, you are very good offensively in junior and in the American League. You make a decision to do different things. Tell us about how you've become the player that you are today in the NHL.
Yeah, I think most people, or most guys, I should say, that come into the league are offensive at some point, or in junior for sure, for the most part. And, you know, I was given opportunities to be on the power play. I played on the power play a lot in the American League. But when I got up here and had a chance on the power play, it just seemed different, right? So, the offense wasn't as great in NHL. And honestly, in LA, I was kind of in between, still trying to be that offensive guy and being good defensively. But I think when I came here, it kind of changed. I knew my role was right away was to be good defensively, play against top players and shut them down. So I kind of just grabbed that opportunity and ran with it. And, you know, it's been great ever since. And it's a role that I love to do and take a lot of pride in.
You're one of the best penalty-killing defensemen in the NHL. And, like, the numbers are astounding. You and Theodore, now that Shea is on the penalty kill, you guys have been dynamite. You get a penalty late, a double minor. What's it like for you to have to sit in the box for the rest of the game when that's, you know, I know how much you take a lot of pride in killing penalties. When you can't be out there, what was that like for you?
It was painful, yeah.
Cover your eyes?
Yeah, I mean, as nice as the goal was, the getting dangled and taking a high stick and penalty kind of ruined it for me. But, yeah, that's never, you know, a great feeling. You know, luckily the guys did a heck of a job. Guys stepped up and didn't give them a whole lot in a tough situation. So, you know, kudos to them.
And the emergence, of course, Shea Theodore as a penalty killer. I mean, you've been with him for so long, but we're seeing a new chapter of his evolution this season. Increased minutes, we know, without Alex Pietrangelo. Those minutes have to go someplace, but also the penalty-killing minutes in particular. How has Shea figured this out to be as good as he's become in a short period of time at penalty-killing?
Yeah, he's been great. Even 5-on-5, his defensive game has been awesome this year. It's always been there. You know, I think he just kind of has opportunity on the kill now, and he just skates so well, and he can clear the puck. You know, he can get the pucks and clear it, right? And that goes a long ways if you can send the power play down the ice. You know, it takes their momentum away. You know, he's great. He's been positionally really doing really well, and we've been a little bit more aggressive, it feels, this year. And with his skating ability, he can shut down a lot of plays.
And to me, I'd be interested in your perspective. It looks like as the success and the confidence built on the penalty killing side of things, then everything else fell into place. And now you're seeing, you know, he's got basically a point per game here over the last month or so. And how much of that might have come from, okay, now I've got the penalty kill building some confidence.
Yeah, I think so. I think, you know, and kind of goes with ice time too, playing a little bit more in the game, a little bit more. Yeah, and the points are coming for him now, which is awesome to see. Just his whole all-around game is coming into form, and, you know, it's fun to watch, and it's fun for me to be his partner.
Yeah.
Real tree or a fake tree?
Fake tree, unfortunately. Oh, I know.
Abbott, the farm boy.
I know,
can't believe it.
Well, it was in my garage. I had to use it. So.
When you bought the house?
No, I bought a fake one a while ago. And maybe next year. Next year we'll probably do real.
There you go.
What's going on at the McNabb house right now?
Not a whole lot. Little guy's probably waiting for some lunch, and then he's going to have a nap. And
it took me a little too literally. I meant right, not right now.
Well, yeah,
I mean,
right.
This poor question. I mean, as part of the Christmas season, what's it like?
Yeah, it's great. I got my family coming. My sister has 3 boys, 7, 5, and 3, I think.
My.
So, yeah, she'll be a loud but fun household.
Awesome. Yeah. Are your mom and dad coming?
Yeah, the whole crew, mom, 2 sisters and brother, mom, dad. Yeah.
Oh, no kidding. That's fantastic.
Yeah, it'll be great.
And then so your dad, Kim Davis, who's one of our favorites, on one of the father's trips, the way the seating was arranged on the bus, I sat with your dad for like 3 days and got to know him, a real good hockey player himself, played in the Western Hockey League a little bit, and just a great guy. He'll stick around and then and come on the dad's trip as well.
Yeah, he's got a long holiday, so he'll be itching to get home after the father's trip.
Oh yeah.
Yeah,
what happens on the farm when he's here? Is someone else there doing, like I know there's not a ton to do in the winter except for maintenance, but what happens right now?
Yeah, like there's not much right now. It's kind of their time off, I would say. But yeah, a couple guys help him out throughout the whole year, really. So if anything goes wrong or south, he always has someone he can call and help out.
How much time do you spend in the off season doing farm stuff?
Not much.
No?
No.
Not as much as you used to.
No, not as much as I used to. Last couple summers, we've been in Calgary for our off season, so I usually try and get home for a week or two, but it's usually not during harvest. I would like to take my little guy out for harvest, show him how it is. I think he would love that. So one of these years, I'll try and get out late August or something for a weekend and take them on the combine or something.
Well, just give us an idea of what harvest is like for a farm family.
Like my dad calls it the playoffs for him. Yeah. So yeah, it's if everything goes smooth, it's usually about a month, 10-15 hour days straight, yeah. If depending on the weather. So
and that's Saturday and Sunday too. That's not Monday to Friday.
Yeah. If there's a wedding, I don't think you're going to the wedding either. Yeah, don't book a wedding on harvest season.
No kidding. That's awesome.
What was Christmas like growing up for you on the farm? What were the McNabb family traditions?
Yeah, I think a lot of the same as for a lot of people. We would do the tree. Depending on if there's snow, we'd get snowmobiles out, do some tobogganing. Lots of snow and very cold. So you
snow
do
in Saskatchewan, yeah. I don't believe.
Yeah.
They're having a real winter right now. The prairies and even Ontario. My brother's in my hometown in Peterborough still, and sent me a picture of his backyard today. There's the other day a ton of snow already.
There's it's winter. It's real life winter out there. So, you dress for the occasion and you enjoy your time inside.
Yeah. What things at this time of year? You know, you've got young family. What do you want Christmas time to be like for you know, having kids right at Christmas time? You know, Santa Claus, we just talked about Santa Claus, is going to be at the Henderson game tomorrow. Yeah. Maybe some traditions you're trying to instill for your family.
Yeah, I think it's just the lead up to Christmas. We got the elf on the shelf. He's at a age where he's starting to understand it a little bit, so just building up till the day, right? That's what I remember is always, 10 days before, I just couldn't wait for the 25th. And we'll do presents and all that stuff on the morning and have a couple nice big meals and lots of good times and good laughs.
There you go. And the Knights, of course, have home games on the 23rd and on the 27th, so there's no Golden Knights travel there before or after Christmas, as there sometimes will be. And we'll wrap it up with a question about what's next from a hockey standpoint. We talked about the terrific start to the month of December. What's next from your point of view, Braden, on what you'd like to see from your team?
Just keep building. I don't think our game's perfect right now. It'd be great to play with some leads and, finish out games. It's great to win the close ones because it's going to happen quite a bit. But if we can, get some leads and stick with it and build on the leads, I think they'll go a long ways.
Yeah. All right. Very good. That is Braden McNabb. Braden, thanks so much for coming by. Congrats on that goal. Do you think maybe Kolesar will get his first next one?
I think so.
He's had Whitecloud, McNabb, and Kolesar's. Yeah. That's the next one.
It's his turn, yeah.
All right. Well, we're looking forward to it. A couple of days against the New Jersey Devils. Braden McNabb,
our
guest.
Thanks, guys.
All right, that's Braden McNabb. We'll step aside. When we return, more on Nighttime at Noon on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Live from City National Arena, this is Nighttime at Noon on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Welcome back to Studio 31 inside City National Arena in downtown Summerlin. This is Nighttime at Noon on Fox Sports Las Vegas. It is 29 after the hour. Dan Duva, Gary Lawless here. Let's tell you about VGK Pay. The Golden Knights have launched VGK Pay, presented by America First Credit Union, as a centralized payment system within the official VGK mobile app. VGK Pay is the smart way to pay for concessions and team gear at T-Mobile Arena, at the Arsenal at City National Arena. And, of course, fans are eligible to earn rewards known as Fortress Funds. And season ticket members can easily redeem their discounts when using VGK Pay. The VGK mobile app is available for iOS and Android devices. Find it in the App Store and Google Play stores. VGK Pay, the Knights' way to pay. Back inside the studio, Dan Duva, Gary Lawless here. Gary, we have some breaking NHL news that is not related to the Golden Knights, but it is significant.
Yeah, Kevin Adams has been relieved of the general manager's duties in Buffalo. They had Jarmo Kekalainen in place there in a senior role, so Terry Pegula has announced he's relieved Kevin Adams of his duties and named Jarmo Kekalainen as general manager of the Buffalo Sabres, and
which is not an interim position. That is full-time.
Yeah.
He's the new GM.
Yeah, he's the 10th general manager in Buffalo Sabres history. It does not say interim. He was there in a senior executive role. I don't believe he was special advisor. I believe he was president of Hockey Ops, and they have Eric Staal there, actually, who is special advisor to the GM. So I think Staal will continue on in that role and probably have increased duties. Jarmo Kekalainen, longtime executive in the NHL, was with the St. Louis Blues under John Davidson and that crew for a long time before moving to Columbus Blue Jackets and running that organization for a bit. So the next thing to keep an eye on is what he does with Lindy Ruff. He's the head coach there. Wouldn't surprise me if he kept Lindy to the end of the season and then made a change in the offseason, and it surprise me if he fired him tomorrow if he had someone in mind that he thought could do a better job. Jarmo's been there. He knows what's wrong with the team and the organization. Yeah. And
I was trying to remember the timing, Gary. Of course, he had been in Columbus.
Yeah.
He's been there. It's been a little while. Yeah, like he just got there this season.
No, I think he joined them part-time through last year.
Yeah,
so,
Yeah.
So Terry Pegula bought the Sabres in February of 2011. They've had 5 general managers, 8 head coaches, and 7 captains. And that's the one that is of the great interest to me. You know, someone was talking about the failure of the Vancouver Canucks to keep Quinn Hughes. You get a franchise player like that, a true number one defenseman, a Norris Trophy, perennial Norris Trophy candidate, and you can't retain him. It's a loss that it takes, like, those players just don't come along. And I know that Buffalo has lost Ryan O'Reilly and
there's a long list.
Reinhardt, the player in Sam Reinhardt in Florida. Ryan O'Reilly, it goes on and on who they've lost. The biggest loss of all for the Buffalo Sabres since Terry Pegula took over that team is Jack Eichel. The fact that they traded away a franchise number one center, a guy who will most likely, in my opinion, be the most important player on the ice for Team USA at the Olympics this year, and almost immediately got to Vegas, took half a season to find his bearings, and then the next season wound it up and finished it with, the team, Mark Stone hoisting the Stanley Cup. That's the kind of failure that you just, frankly, you just can't come back from that. And the Quinn Hughes trade out of Vancouver, I think Zeev Bulium is going to be a really good player. I think Marco Rossi is, a middle of the lineup center. I think Ogren is the same. Those guys do not add up to Quinn Hughes. Much like Peyton Krebs and Alex Tuch, who are both nice players, don't add up to Jack Eichel.
Yeah, they can't all be on the ice at the same time. You can't have 8 guys out there when they only allow 5. Right? No. Jack Eichel is that, and Quinn Hughes is that. Studs, basically. There are only so many true studs.
Well, Quinn Hughes is the second best defenseman in the NHL.
Yeah.
And has been for a while and will be for a while.
Sure. And is in the same division now as the number one best defenseman in the NHL.
And Jack Eichel is in the conversation for among the 5 best complete centermen in the NHL.
Oh, yeah.
5. Mm-hmm. To me, Kelly McCrimmon has done a lot of good things here. Mark Stone, Alex Pietrangelo, Mitch Marner, huge acquisitions. Jack Eichel is the biggest deal that Kelly McCrimmon has ever swung here.
Yeah. It's hard to argue that point, in my opinion, not only because of what he's done so far, but, clearly there's so much more to come. He turned 29 in October. Yeah. This is right in the meat of his prime. I mean, that this is where you still have the physical attributes of youth plus the wisdom of years. It all coincides late 20s into early 30s, and that's where he is right now.
Yeah.
And, I mean, he's you know, right there among the, you know, led the league in scoring for a good chunk of the start of the season, and, you know, had, it was 8 points and a four-game streak going into last game against the Blue Jackets, and, you know, critical assists. The overtime goal Mark Stone scored, but Jack, you know, makes that play. He's skating, he's putting on a clinic there, and then makes the perfect pass to the back door. So compiling the numbers, but also making significant, timely, clutch, impressive plays. Like, you get both. It's not just one or the other. That to me is among the more impressive things, not to mention the minutes that he plays too.
Yeah. I want to talk about Mark Stone for a quick second.
Okay, let's do it.
So I just interviewed Mark right after practice for a piece on whether or not he's going to be named to Team Canada for the Olympics. And to me, it's I'll just say this. I'll be shocked if Mark Stone is not named to Team Canada. But there are a number of prediction lists out there right now from, you know, qualified people. Mike Johnson and Craig Button do one for TSN. They don't have Mark Stone on the list. So this got me thinking, and, you know, I wanted to ask Mark about it. And this article, I'm going to write it later today or early tomorrow, and we'll publish it on Tuesday at some point in time, or maybe even Wednesday. We'll see. I asked him, you know, what do you have to offer? You know, I asked him if he's been playing well enough. He talks about a lot of things. But at the end, I said, you know, what do you have to offer to Team Canada? And he goes, well, this might sound really stupid, and I'm not volunteering to be the 13th forward, but I can go in. I'm really good at coming in and out of your lineup because of all the injuries.
Yeah,
he's joked found
about
a way.
It. He's joked about it before. He's got experience doing it.
That first game back, he's really good. Like he is. He's got a skill that if you know you need to change the flavor of your team for one game, and you decide to go without him, or if somebody gets hurt. So I said, are you volunteering to be the 13th forward? He goes, no. He goes, but he said, I would rather be the 14th forward and be there than be sitting on a beach in the Bahamas.
Oh, my gosh. Well, he's just as competitive as it gets.
Yeah.
And that just drives him.
Yeah. And then off the record, you know, I did say to him, not off the record, but like after we were done talking, I said, well, how would you – actually, he offered it up after he sort of said, you know, there's nothing I can do about it, and either way I'll find the positives in it. I said, so you would understand that if you didn't go, you'd get over that, and, you know, the rest that you could get would be good for the stretch run for the Golden Knights. And he said – yeah, it wouldn't be right away, but
yeah.
he goes, yeah, I would see the positives in both.
Yeah, Mark Stone has now played 15 games this season.
Yeah, points in 14 of them.
He had points in the first 14 and only last game, yeah. The Columbus game, which the Knights won 3-2 the other day. That was the first game that he played this year in which he did not record a point, but he does have 24 points in 15 games. He had an 8-game scoring streak in his first 8 after returning from injury. He missed 16, so points in the first 6, missed 16, then points in 8 in a row, and then obviously last game was his 15th game.
You know, I think if you want to make the argument that there are younger, flashier guys, you can make that argument. But a guy, you know, who know? If I'm John Cooper, I'm like, okay, I got lots of flash.
Yeah.
I got McDavid, I've got McKinnon, I've got Marner, I've got a ton of that, you know? Yeah, I can have this guy that can play on the power play down low. He can kill penalties. He can go in and out of the lineup, like he already said. He can play all over the lineup. Like, there's the utility of Mark Stone is not something that we talk about on a day-in and day-out basis here in Vegas because, you know, we see him play and, yeah. You know, yeah, it might not be flashy, but at the end of the night, there's, you know, one goal and an assist or two assists or two goals, like, again and again and again. You always see him on the score sheet. And, like, he's a very good penalty killer, great at stripping the puck from people. There's just a whole bunch of things that he does. He's a unicorn in his own way.
Yeah, I mean, let's just put it this way. Gary, what do you think about Mark Stone's impact on the team since returning from that absence? Right,
you tell me the records.
Right, so they lost to Ottawa, extra time. They lost in regulation to Montreal, but after that, the last seven games is the 6-0-1.
Right? Yeah.
That's not a coincidence.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
I started calling him the elixir.
Didn't you do something like segments?
Yes. You want the segments?
Yeah.
So the Knights won 5 times in their first 7 games.
How many of those games is he in the lineup for?
The first 6.
First 6.
Yeah,
okay.
He missed the 5th win, which was in the 7th game. But yes, they won 5 times in the first 7, and then the Knights won 5 out of 17. And again, that sort of coincides with his absence.
Well, he missed how many games?
16.
16,
It doesn't line up perfectly, but you're getting the idea, right? And so 5 wins in the first 7, 5 wins in the next 17, and now 6 wins in the last 7. Again, it doesn't align perfectly with, but it's way too much of an indicator to say that Mark Stone very much is, and I use the term elixir to say, you know, when Mark Stone is in the lineup, whoever he's with, whether it's on the power play, even strength, penalty, he just makes everybody around him better. I mean that in a hockey sense, but I also mean it in an intangible sense. Bruce Cassidy brought up his leadership. With all respect to the leaders that the Knights have, you know, Alex Pietrangelo was a vocal guy on the bench. Of course, a great leader. There are plenty of other leaders, but, you know, not everybody's going to be talking. You can't at the same time. Without Mark Stone and without Alex Pietrangelo, there was not a vocal person of leadership on the bench, and Bruce noticed that. So, obviously, he comes back. There's all the intangibles. There are all the statistics. And when you see him play on a night-to-night basis, it is all the more impressive. And we should also point out, not to be lost in this, that Braden Bowman has played in the spot where Mark Stone had been the first handful of games of the season. And even upon Stone's return to the lineup, Bowman has stayed there at 5-on-5. Stone went back to the regular power play spot, but every time Bruce Cassidy is asked by the media about Braden Bowman, Mark Stone's name comes up, because Bruce said it to the media in Columbus the other day that Bowman's ceiling could look like Mark Stone's, which is not to say he's going to be Mark Stone.
Yeah.
He's 16 games into his NHL career and continues to play very, very well. What a revelation for this organization to have somebody who can step in and have Mark Stone type attributes.
Absolutely. And he's changed the calculus for Kelly McCrimmon too, because, you know, I think Kelly McCrimmon came into the season, he spent a lot of money on Mitch Marner, and that, you know, kind of maybe tied his hands to some degree in fleshing out his forward group. But, you know, I do think Kelly's going to add at some point in time. But Bowman changes that to a certain degree. Like, you know, if you thought you needed 2 forwards, maybe now you only need 1.
Mm-hmm.
So that'll be interesting to see how that unfolds. Let's talk about Mitch Marner for a quick sec before we break. A reporter here from Toronto today to talk to Mitch. And, you know, the team doesn't go to Toronto till the new year, but they get to Toronto the second of a back-to-back, so he won't be available. So my guess is the reporter will write something now and then use some of what he got closer to the time as well. I watched the Toronto radio show a couple days ago, and they were talking about how Mitch was not the man in Vegas, and he's not. You know, the man is, depending on the night, Jack Eichel, Tomas Hertl, Mark Stone, Shea Theodore, or Mitch Marner. You know, just, you know, that's what happens when you're a really deep team that is built to win games and not to win individual awards. Well, Mitch was the man on Saturday night, maybe for the first time in a Golden Knights jersey. And they needed someone to take that game over, and he did. And like Bruce said after the game, we've got to do a better job getting Mitch the puck in situations where he can do his thing, which is kind of roll around in the offensive zone. We saw it to great effect on Saturday night.
Yeah, and that's hand-in-hand with what Braden McNabb said to us earlier, what you wrote about the other day. It's now at that stage, 30 games into the season. We're going to step aside, but first let's talk about the locals menu. The locals menu is something that the Golden Knights have come up with because you, the fans, spoke up and the Knights have listened. The new VGK locals menu is available now at all the team's home games at T-Mobile Arena. Menu features hot dogs, nachos, water, fountain sodas, pretzels, and popcorn for just $5.50 each. Season ticket members receive an additional 10% off on all concessions. This includes the VGK Locals menu. That's, again, the VGK Locals menu, $5.50 for those items. We'll be back with more in a moment. This is Nighttime at Noon on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Hey, Golden Knights fans, this is Braden McNabb. You're listening to Nighttime at Noon.
We've got some radio news for you. You really can get the radio, not only today, 98.9 FM, but we have some radio news. We're switching frequencies as of the 18th. That is 98.9 FM switching to 94.7. And it's not a different radio station. They're just flip-flopping stations. So Fox Sports Las Vegas is moving to 94.7, and the country station, Hank FM, is moving from 94.7 to 98.9. So we believe that this is going to enhance our listener or reach, the range, the coverage, and the quality of the sound. So that starts on the 18th with, of course, all the coverage, the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show with the game broadcast, and, of course, that is also this program, Nighttime at Noon. That's change starts on the 18th over to 94.7 FM. So those of you listening on the radio just heard Bruce Springsteen. If on the stream, you didn't hear it. That's you know, digital copyright laws and everything. But on the radio, we got to hear the boss. And most importantly, Gary got to hear the song.
Well, two things. First of all, so you can listen to Dan and I and Ryan and all the gang on Wednesday when the Golden Knights play the Devils. That'll be the last time you listen to a game on 98.9. Right. After that, the games will be on 94.7. So we'll remind you with social media. But if you get in the car on, when do we play in, when's the next game after?
Saturday the 20th.
Saturday the 20th. If you get in the car on the 20th and you're listening and you put on 98.9 and you hear country and you're like, where are Dan and Gary? Go over to 94.7 and you'll find us there.
Assuming Dan and Gary is not a country duo or something that I'm not aware of.
Not that I know of, yes.
But yeah, so we appreciate that update from our friends over at Lotus. And then part two, Gary, was, again, yeah, our radio listeners got to hear a little taste of the boss.
So I've had a rule for a long time, going back to my 20s, that I do not get into the Christmas spirit until I have heard Bruce Springsteen singing Santa Claus is Coming to Town. And it has to be on terrestrial radio. Like, I had roommates one time. And, like, I woke up for breakfast one time, and I came down, and they, like, hit play on the tape recorder, and there was Bruce singing Santa Claus is Coming to Town. Right. And then, you know, they're like, let's decorate the tree. I'm like, no. It can't be faked. It's
got
to
be spontaneous.
It's got to be spontaneous.
Yeah.
So it's got to be on terrestrial radio. So it just was. We just heard it. So I am officially. And this is the perfect time. Like, I don't want to be in the Christmas spirit on December 4th. As a matter of fact, someone said to me in an email, you know, happy holidays. And I'm like, really? That's a good friend of mine. I'm like, really? You're going to diminish the season by starting to say happy holidays on December 3rd? No, it doesn't work. So now it's December 15th. I've heard the boss singing Santa Claus is Coming to Town. I'm going to pick up at the Lawless house. We do our Christmas feast is all seafood. So I'm going to pick that stuff up because of travel and stuff like that this year. We're doing our Vegas Christmas on Thursday night, and then we'll have Christmas with my family up in Canada on Christmas Day.
I like it.
Yeah.
We were very close to getting this spontaneous Springsteen in Columbus. After the game, they played a Springsteen Christmas song,
but
it was Merry Christmas Baby, not Santa Claus is Coming to Town.
Yeah, in a pinch. You know, like if it was the 24th and I hadn't heard Santa Claus is Coming to Town and I heard Merry Christmas Baby, I might bend the rules. Like, I do have a family. I do have a daughter and that, you know, wants it to be Christmassy around the house. So they've done their part. The house is decorated. Tree is up. The baking has started. All that good stuff.
By the way, just for the record, this is 50 years since that song was first put out by Springsteen.
Wow.
50 years. Yeah. Right around the time of Born to Run.
Yeah, did he record that in Asbury Park down at the
CW Post on Long Island?
Oh, really? Okay.
Yep, right. That's the famous version. He's done it many times, of course.
He plays at the there's a in Asbury Park there's like a convention hall
yep,
or
convention
something
hall,
like that
sure.
And he plays a Christmas concert yep. there.
He's also done
quite
some
often.
Recordings in what used to be the Carousel. The Carousel yeah. itself isn't there anymore, but yeah. he's done videos. That, so those of you who wanted Springsteen
Tunnel of Love
Christmas
is, that's featured in Tunnel of Love, isn't it?
I think so.
Yeah.
yeah. There you go. So
yeah, listen, if you want to
it turned into the Springsteen show in the final minutes of the program
yeah,
here at
sure.
nighttime at noon. But again, one more thing, we talked about radio. Let's also tell you about Nighttime Plus while we have a moment. If you can watch the Golden Knights this season on Nighttime Plus, not tomorrow's game, because only the pregame will be on Nighttime Plus. Our friends will be covering it on TNT. You see the logo there for those of you watching the stream. But the pregame show, Nighttime Plus, and then the game broadcast on Turner tomorrow, not tomorrow, but Wednesday against the New Jersey Devils. But Nighttime Plus, available on your smartphone, tablet, computer, or television. Watch the Golden Knights live. Nighttime Plus delivers all locally televised games on Scripps Sports, as well as bonus content created throughout the season. Download and subscribe now to tune in all season long. Gary and I will have the radio broadcast against the Devils on Wednesday. Darren Millard will have the pregame show at 6:30, but the game television coverage over on Turner. But make sure you get that Nighttime Plus app to get all the coverage for the Scripps broadcasts. And again, we're making that radio switch on the 18th, so Wednesday's game will be on 98.9 FM, also 1340 AM. That is not changing. And the streams, if you get it on the NHL app, that's not changing. The TuneIn app, that's not changing. It's just that FM frequency here in the Valley. I was driving around yesterday to make sure the frequency was good. It was good. Well, Gary, we are rapidly running out of time. Quick thought on the Knights and Devils coming up in just a couple of days. Knights, of course, had the victory in New Jersey 3-0 just last week.
Yeah, you know, the Devils were scuffling a little bit. They got a win after Vegas left town, and we'll see how they fare. I think the Golden Knights would really like to continue their winning ways at home, only home for one game before off to Calgary and Edmonton, and then who do they play on the 23rd?
San Jose.
Mm-hmm. And then it's a three-day break for Christmas, so mm-hmm. We'll see what the Devils have to show, say for themselves on Wednesday night.
Mm-hmm. That'll wrap up our broadcast today. Thanks to Luis and Jeff and Katie. For Golden Knights insider Gary Lawless, Dan Duva saying goodbye.